Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, we will welcome another amazingly knowledgeable guest from the health and nutrition field, practitioner Cheryl Myers. So you don't want to miss this episode. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become your healthiest self. It's time for Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Growing older. Well, it's an inevitable part of our life, but while there's nothing you can do to stop the accumulation of candles on the birthday cake, how you age is largely within your control. Healthy aging means continually reinventing yourself, finding new things you enjoy, adopting healthy habits, and staying physically and mentally active. And dietary supplements can play a key role in aging well. But what should you be taking? Integrative health guru Cheryl Myers will join me today to help us navigate through our local health food store and put together a plan that will help us thrive with each passing birthday. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time, these are the kind of shows where you'll take away great information and at the same time get a little education. My guest today, Cheryl Myers, is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Journal, Surgery Journal, Nutrition and Complementary Care, and her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She is a well-known advocate for bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Ms. Myers has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology, focusing on physiological brain function, and is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma.com. Want to let everybody know, remember to tune in to the webpage, get there, visit it frequently, EuropharmaUSA.com. Help me welcome my guest, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you today.
I think this is going to be a great conversation. You know, today we are, you know, baby boomers, and a lot of us are trying to hold on to our youth and our health, and we're trying to age gracefully. But I think what I've learned over my almost four decades in the field is a lot of us wait to the point when we already are seeing massive amounts of aging in the mirror or feeling it before we decide to start being proactive.
Well, you know, it's absolutely never too late to intervene. There's always things you can do to help to slow down some of the health problems and the issues that are associated with aging, or to slow down the factors that actually accelerate aging. There's never too late to intervene. I don't care if you're 95 years old, there's things that you can do. However, you are also right that the earlier that you start to incorporate some of these lifestyle strategies to help with healthy aging, the better the long-term result. Just like when you invest money in the bank. If you start investing at 95, is it a good idea? Absolutely. You know, and when you're 96, you're going to get a little bit more money. But if you'd started to invest when you were 25 years old, just think of the bankroll you'd have to fall back on. The problem that, of course, we all encounter is that when we're in our teens and our 20s and even into our 30s, we are of the firm belief that nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. It all seems so distant, and it all seems so improbable that individuals often don't really take the action that perhaps they could until, as you say, they start to encounter some of these wake-up calls. Maybe they develop a little hypertension or some diabetes, or maybe they start to have a wonky knee that's not doing what they want it to do. And all of a sudden, they're starting to think, well, okay, maybe I'm not the immortal that my teenage self told me I was.
You know, and that's a very good point. You know, and when I was young, I'll say the same thing. I thought that all of the health conditions and health problems were all geriatric. I figured I had decades and decades of enjoying my life before I had to buckle down and start focusing on the aging of my body. But you know, those walls have come down, and I do consultations all the time with people in their 20s and 30s that are suffering with things that one time affected people that were 50, 60 and older. And I don't think we're going to see any change on this if we don't do something and maybe start becoming a little bit more proactive and preventive at a younger age.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's some pillars, what I call the pillars of aging. There are the things that, our bodies age because of what we call aging. is actually damage. And the more damage you accumulate, the faster you age, and the less damage you accumulate, the slower you age. So I don't care how well you take care of yourself or how healthy you are or what genes you inherited. When you get to be 100 years old, you're not going to look or feel like a 20-year-old. However, that's not to say that when you're 100 years old, you still can't be vigorous and healthy and active and mentally alert. So when we look at what causes the damage that causes the aging process, we see that it comes from free radical damage, which is oxidative stress. Some oxidative stress comes from outside our body, and some oxidative stress comes from inside our body. So that's why we always talk about eating a wide variety of colors in our fruits and vegetables, because they have a plethora of antioxidants that help to arrest that damage. The next is chronic inflammation. Everybody in the world has some level of inflammation, but some individuals have much higher levels. The higher level of chronic inflammation you carry in your body, the more you're going to accelerate the aging process and the greater risk you run for those diseases associated with aging. And I believe that some of the changes that have happened in America, what with the changes in what we eat and some of the frankenfoods that we're consuming and told are healthy and some of the things that we're exposed to, really have put an inordinate amount of Americans into a pro-inflammatory state. Another has to do with impaired detoxification. When you are exposed to toxins, and you can't live a life in a bubble, so we're all exposed to toxins, those toxins drive around in our bloodstream for a little bit until there's room in the parking garage, and then when it finally can pull into the parking garage, it's taken out of our body. That's the liver is our parking garage. So the more congested the liver, the more problematic the detoxification process, the fewer tools the liver has to perform proper detoxification, the longer those toxins are going to drive around on the highway. And every trip around the body causes more and more damage. So a slowed detoxification is also something that contributes strongly to the aging process. So if you can pay attention to at least those three factors of reducing oxidative stress, of reducing chronic inflammation, and at improving the detoxification processes in the body, you can always see an improvement in your health status, and you can always, always somewhat slow that train that we call aging that sometimes is barreling down the tracks, but sometimes you can slow it down to a crawl.
You know, the interesting thing is when I first got into the field, gosh, almost four decades ago, it seemed like the people that would be going into the health food stores and using supplementation, it was more of a, I think I'm going to try this. This sounds kind of interesting. It was a luxury kind of thing. And boy, have we just now escalated to a necessity. And I, you know what I'm seeing most of this today is I know a lot of people that are vegetarians and vegans, and I call them true vegetarians and vegans because they do the food, they have the lifestyle, they know how to mix the foods, and everything has been balanced. I'm not talking about the carbitarians, the ones that are just have no animal products on their plate. You know, I'm talking about the ones that truly take care of themselves and have the mindset of a true vegetarian and a vegan. I can't tell you how many of them now are supplementing their diet, and they never did before, but they do it now because they'll be the first to tell you, we just can't do this anymore with just our food and the pollutants and the things in the air and the things we're exposed to that we can't control. So it was kind of interesting to see the shift for the people that always thought they could always do it with a perfectly balanced vegetarian or vegan diet and know today that they need to bring in supplementation because they know that they just can't do it anymore because of the quality.
I'd have to agree with you. And also, I think that, remember, especially with regards to inflammation, even people that are doing their very best to eat a healthy diet are still exposed to thousands and thousands of chemicals that have been created in the last 50 to 75 years that we don't fully understand. You know, just because we can do something doesn't necessarily mean we should do something. I wish someone would get that message across to some of these chemical companies. But because we've released this enormous amount of exposure, a lot of people are really concerned about Roundup and glyphosate exposure. Well, that's a toxin, so it stresses your detoxification system, but it also can create chronic inflammation in the body. So even when they are, like as you say, developing this really healthy lifestyle, whatever diet they're choosing that they're trying to select from the cleanest of the clean foods, and yet they still find that they're encountering a lot of these issues.
You know, I think sometimes that a lot of this is we're in overdrive, and you know, I think a lot of people get confused about the big picture of what's going on with health and nutrition. You know what I'd love to hear from you is maybe some ideas of things that people could bring into their diet. Let's say they've changed their diet. Let's say that they're eating better, maybe more Mediterranean-ish, maybe more good fats, and they decided to become a little bit more active. They're trying to drink a little bit more water, all good things, heading in the right direction, a little bit maybe walking or a little bit of exercise, trying to get to bed a little bit earlier at night, more on a routine. But, you know, there's gaps. Maybe your ideas of some things we can incorporate in nutrients that might just make a difference.
Well, for individuals who are vegetarians, one of the vitamins that they most often struggle to get enough of is vitamin B12. So I often say that for many people, a good broad-spectrum B vitamin formula, I especially like B vitamins with choline, because the FDA for the first time has determined a recommended daily amount of choline that's necessary in the diet for healthy functioning, and even released a news story from the government that said that upwards of 90% of Americans are downright deficient in choline. We're just not getting enough of it from our diet. Now, choline is important for fetal development, but choline is also very vitally important for brain function and other functionalities within the body. Additionally, there's drugs on the market, certain allergy drugs, and certain drugs for individuals who have problems with overactive bladder or leaky bladder that deplete choline from the body. So not only are we not getting very much of it from our diet, we're actually challenging it with some external products that may actually be depleting this choline from us. So I think one good recommendation for everyone is a good mixed B vitamin formula with choline. I like B vitamins in the human form. B vitamins in the plant form and in most supplements are not in what they call the methylated form. So when you take in a B12, let's say the chemical name for that is cyanocobalamin. Well, when you take that in, it has to go to the liver, and the liver has to chop off the cyano and glue on a methyl group, and that makes it active and able for your body to utilize it. Upwards of 30%, I even recently heard an integrative practitioner say in her practice, she sees it almost 50% of the time, people have an inefficiency at converting one or more of the B vitamins. So it may look on paper like they're getting a sufficient amount when in fact they are not. So one of my recommendations, especially for vegetarians, would be a good bioactive B formula that includes B12 and choline at a minimum that is in the bioactive form. That's a good supplement for almost anyone's diet.
I want everybody to remember to stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned on the show. For more information on understanding healthy aging and other health and wellness topics, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store, packed with well-researched articles, recipes, and tips. It's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Pick up your copy today. Also, for great information on amazing products, don't forget to go to EuropharmaUSA.com. I think you'll find them to be very, very informative. You know, Cheryl, my question comes in when people are searching and going to these web pages that are informative today are really, really important because people are really in search of true information, and a lot of the misinformation out there, it just causes a lot of confusion.
Oh, I hear you. It is difficult. You do have to sort through things and take things with a grain of salt. I'm a big one for whenever possible going back to the studies. Despite what marketing may say or despite how pretty the box might be for whatever product you're examining, if it's been used in a human study with actual doctors that have given this to people and then evaluated their response, I always think that's the gold standard for how to select certain types of dietary supplements. You know, another supplement that's not a nutrient, it's in the herbal category, is a derivative of turmeric called curcumin. And I know you've spoken a lot about that in the past. Turmeric is a wonderful, wonderful spice, healthy as can be. And if you like the flavor, I hope you're adding it to your food all the time. But you just cannot achieve the medicinal levels of curcumin, which is what's been clinically studied for things like cancer, Alzheimer's disease, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, certain types of liver diseases, even for major depressive disorder. So very, very broad spectrum activity of being able to rein in both the antioxidant stress and the chronic inflammation in the body. But curcumin is only 2 to 5% of turmeric. So there are companies out there on the internet that will sell people turmeric because people heard it mentioned on Dr. Oz or they read some wonderful article, and they're buying 1,000 milligrams of turmeric, and they think it's going to make a difference, but they don't understand that in 1,000 milligrams there could be as little as 20 milligrams of curcumin. And as my grandfather would say, that's something like spitting in the ocean to raise the tide. You're just not going to have medicinal benefits with 20 milligrams. So it's important to look, when you look at curcumin, which I think is my favorite in the herbal category, there is, in my opinion, no herbal product that you can buy as a dietary supplement that has a more powerful role in helping to forestall accelerated aging, and helping to rein in chronic inflammation and oxidative stress, and in helping people to prevent a wide and vast array of chronic diseases, especially those associated with aging. So when you look for curcumin, this is a place where it pays to do your homework, because the clinical studies, I always say the proof is in the pudding. There are companies that make a lot of really wild claims about their curcumin, but my first question is, how many published studies, and what did those studies say, and how did it help people? And the reason for that is because people, even though we know it's useful and beneficial, people don't 100% understand which parts of the curcumin are having the greatest impact. And there is a clinically studied form of curcumin called BCM95 that's been published. I think it's up to 29 studies now. And it has enhanced absorption, so instead of 20 capsules a day, you only have to take two. And it also has this BCM95 is blended with turmeric essential oil. So you get the best of all the things that turmeric has to offer, but then you get the intensity of the curcumin so that you can replicate some of the clinical studies that have been done on it. So that would be everybody, you know, when you go to a cocktail party and people find out what you do for a living, their question is, okay, if you were on a deserted island and you could only take one natural medicine with you, what would that natural medicine be? Well, I will exclude tequila, but but the one that I would select would be not turmeric, but an enhanced absorption curcumin blended with turmeric essential oil. That's where I think you can really see some measurable differences in all of those three pillars of aging.
You know, what's interesting is I love that product. I love the curcumin, and I love the product that you put out, because I've been talking about it for a long time, as you know. And when people start talking to me about, you know, healthy aging and the baby boomers and things like that, and of course I always talk about a good balanced whole food, multiple vitamin, omega-3s and all that. But when we get to the curcumin, they say, is there anything that you would add to the curcumin for healthy aging? And I always go to your glutathione.
Absolutely. Because when we look at remember we talked about oxidative stress and detoxification and chronic inflammation being the three major contributors to the aging process. Most of our antioxidants come from outside of our body, but there's two that are so important and crucial. Our own body makes them. And one is called superoxide dismutase, or SOD, and the other is called glutathione. And of the two, even though they're both crucial, the one that has the more far-reaching activity in the body is glutathione. Glutathione is created by the liver and released into the bloodstream. It is also created inside of our cells. And so our cells are bathed inside and out with glutathione from before we were even born. So it's crucially, crucially important. There are certain kinds of oxidative stressors that are very damaging that nothing in the world will quench except glutathione. And so, but glutathione creation diminishes with age, and also glutathione can be dramatically reduced by certain drugs, the most notorious of which is one that some people take every single day, and that's acetaminophen, or Tylenol is one brand name for it. Acetaminophen destroys the ability of the liver to make glutathione, so people who are relying on Tylenol for pain relief or taking it for some other reason for long periods of time accelerate their aging because they are reducing the ability of their body to make glutathione. Glutathione also plays a role in the detoxification processes in the liver, both phase one and phase two, although it's especially important for phase two. So I think that when you look at individuals who are struggling, that being able to put glutathione back in the body is always a good idea. There's some estimates that by age 65, even in healthy individuals, our production of glutathione is reduced as much as 50%. Additionally, they find that individuals who live long and vigorous lives past the age of 100, one of the things they have in common is they tend to be genetically blessed, or maybe blessed by their healthy lifestyle, with being able to make a lot of glutathione. So we know that it's something of a fountain of youth within our body that we need to take care of. But it's very, very difficult to get glutathione into the body. You can do it intravenously. That means putting a needle into a vein and injecting it. You can do it intravenously, but if you try to do it orally, the digestion process converts it to its inactive form. That's called oxidized glutathione. And that doesn't do you any good whatsoever. It's a superhero that's used up all its superpowers, and now it's just sitting around. In fact, it can actually cause oxidative stress. So the race has been on with how can a person deliver active glutathione into the body without using intravenous technology and with avoiding digestion. And so there is a group in France that did a great deal of research on this and developed a sublingual tablet that dissolves under the tongue where the active glutathione is absorbed in the mouth so that it bypasses the digestive process entirely. And it has a published human study that shows that within only 10 to 14 days, there are measurable differences in the amount of active glutathione in the body. And additionally, the ratio of active to inactive glutathione, we always want lots and lots and lots of active and very little inactive, improved as much as 230% after 3 weeks of use compared to just untreated glutathione. So I think it's a real game changer as far as finally being able to deliver the right form of glutathione to people to help them with whether they are just doing a healthy anti-aging regimen or whether they're struggling with some kind of illness that's associated with the aging process, like Parkinson's disease has a lot of excellent glutathione studies, chronic infections, Lyme's disease, you know, there's just the list goes on and on of the studies that have found people are depleted in active glutathione, and there's a correlation between less active glutathione and the severity of the disease. Even in something like cystic acne, people who struggle with cystic acne, which is the nastiest form of acne that causes scarring, they found that people with the worst cystic acne also had the lowest active glutathione levels versus individuals with just mild cystic acne tended to have higher levels. So while we don't have studies on every single disease application, we do know that there is a strong correlation between low levels of active glutathione and almost too many diseases to list. So I'm very, very interested in this French company's research that have developed this technique with getting active glutathione into the body without intravenous intervention. In the United States, it's called, in France, it's called, I'm going to break out my high school French now, Sublintion. In the United States, it's called clinical glutathione.
One quick question. The two of these together, the curcumin as well as the glutathione, taken together, powerful punch?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I have those both of those in my daily regimen.
Me too.
And not necessarily because I'm dealing with a chronic disease or illness, but because I read this research every day and it is so incredibly powerful that it has convinced me that this is my most optimal chance to stay healthy as I age.
You know, we look at the foods and things that we gravitate to today. Obviously, we have to realize that change is inevitable and we have to shake it up a little bit. And I think for many of us, we just need to make sure that we are, you know, treating our bodies just a little bit better. Even a mild amount of movement toward healthy can bring monumental differences. People think they have to change the world overnight. Just small, progressive baby step changes. And when you feel the difference, most people are automatically motivated.
You know, I feel that sometimes people get overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, you want me to completely change my diet, and I need to start going to the gym 5 times a week, and I need to get rid of my carpeting and put in wood and or tile in my bedroom. You know, they've got all these different things that people throw at them. This is what you need to do to get healthy. The absolute easiest no-brainer you could do to take a step towards health is to incorporate supplements into your diet. I'm not saying those other things are not important, but sometimes they can be overwhelming, and then people say, well, I can't accomplish all those things, so I can't accomplish anything.
Yep.
Nothing could be further from the truth. Incorporate some healthy supplements into your dietary regimen every day. Start making baby steps towards more activity. Start looking at, are there a couple of foods that are unhealthy that you're currently eating that you could switch out something that might be a better choice? And before you know it, you're going to be living a natural, healthy lifestyle.
And we don't do change very well. So I think for many people, I love the idea and I agree with it 100%. It's just, you know, do some small things. Start with some supplementation. You know, when you start getting up after a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks of being religious in your supplements, you're going to feel better and you automatically will stand up in the mirror in the morning and say, wonder what else I can do. It might make me feel better.
Yeah, as I said, it doesn't have to be everything all at once. In fact, the same is true of weight loss. Everybody always says, well, if you want to be healthier, lose weight. Well, if it were an easy thing to do, we wouldn't have 60% of the population either overweight or obese. There's a lot of complicated factors into why people are struggling with their excess weight, some within their control and some not within their control. But recent studies have found that even a 5% weight loss, so let's say you're 250 pounds, so you lose 10 or 12 pounds, that you, even that small amount of weight loss, if you can just take baby steps towards that, will have positive benefits in your long-term health. In fact, there's some very interesting research that shows that with regards to weight loss, it's not always just about your overall weight, but your trajectory. Mm-hmm. So people that are in the weight gain mode have more health issues than individuals who are in the weight loss mode, even if that weight loss mode is only a pound a year.
I want to thank my guest today, Cheryl Myers, for being with me. Don't forget to visit EuropharmaUSA.com. Incredible resource. A couple books you might want to keep in mind. Well, one book for sure, The Second 50, Your Roadmap to Fitness and Healthy Aging by Tom Giemeyer and Jerry Auten. Website of the week also, The Art of Well-Being, an integrative growing guide to growing younger. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com. For more information on this and all my segments, go to my radio show page at RadioMD.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show page and the on-demand podcast to the show. Thank you for listening. Stay well.